Hello and welcome to The Hand Cell, where interesting people tell us about books they think we should read. I'm Jen Northington, coming to you from Book Riot, and today's guest is author Amanda Jayathissa. Welcome, Amanda.
Hi, Jen. Thank you for having me.
Yes, we're so excited to have you. So you are the author of the thriller My Sweet Girl, and your new book, You're Invited, has just been published, and it takes place at a lavish Sri Lankan wedding celebration that not everyone will survive. It's just come out. I've seen it compared to Crazy Rich Asians as like the bloodier version, which cracked me up.
Yeah, Crazy Rich Asians with the dead body thrown in.
So, yeah, hey. Yeah. That sounds like an interesting update to me. Will you tell our listeners a little bit about who you are as a reader as well as an author?
Yeah, of course. So as a reader, I try very hard to read as widely as I possibly can, but I often find myself always gravitating towards thrillers and mysteries and suspense and just, you know, things with a sprinkling of dead bodies and blood and horror and gore and things like that. I do tend to veer towards sort of the darker side of things, which is really funny for people that know me, actually, because I'm such a goofball in real life, I guess, just like very awkward and like always making these jokes that no one's laughing at except me. And, you know, like, hey, if you can't laugh at your own jokes, right? So as an author, it's really not been much of a surprise that, again, I'm writing in this genre. I think it stems from when I was young, I read a lot of mystery books. So a lot of sort of Famous Five and Secret Seven by this author called Enid Blyton, who was very, very popular in Sri Lanka, where I'm from and where I grew up. And so it dealt a lot with these young kids sort of solving mysteries and things like that. And I think that's where I got this idea that all books should have this mystery that it, you know, centers on. And here I am writing, you know, in that vein, I guess. I'm also heavily influenced. I read a lot of R.L. Stein when I was younger. So I guess maybe I get the dead bodies and the gore and the bloody bits from him, maybe, or like the Fear Street books.
Yeah, it sounds like you come by it honestly. Isn't it so funny how those early reading diets can just shape our tastes forever?
Right? Yeah, it's so weird. But I love it. And I'm very, very happy sort of writing and reading in this space. So
yeah, well, you're not alone, right? I mean, I think thrillers and mysteries are such a popular category and so interesting to read about. And I confess, I'm a little bit of a delicate flower. If things are too gory, I'm like, oh right. No, like I'm going to be afraid for the next 20 years, right?
So oh no. Okay, so it's so funny. I love watching horror movies and things like that as well. Like my husband and I are big fans, and it's always really awkward because we try to get our friends and family to watch along with us and nobody wants to join. They're like, you're on your own. So
that's so funny. I have found that if it's done a specific way, I can handle it. And I'm still trying to figure out exactly what that specific way is for myself. So like, no going in. But anyway, I think, you know, it is a very popular category and a really fun one. And I do love thrillers when I can bring myself to read them. So I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to talk to you more about them. Before we get into that, let us take a quick sponsor break.
Today's episode is brought to you by Entangled Publishing's Red Tower Books, publisher of the smash hit Fourth Wing. You'll only cross these blades once in a page-turning new tale of revenge, strategy, and so many lies. Best-selling Red Tower Books is releasing its next irresistible read that will capture your imagination and keep you guessing until the end. Mae Corlin's Five Broken Blades tells an intricate high-stakes tale of five total strangers united in a plot that will test their strength, wits, and courage. Each has their reasons, all have secrets. But while it's easy to portray a stranger, it's not so simple to stab a friend or a lover, okay, in the back. Now these five blades must choose between vengeance and one another. Pick up 5 Broken Blades by Mae Corlin for a thrilling, adventurous tale filled with risk, romance, adventure, and, oh, so many lies. The relationships in it are complex and nuanced and involve everything from friends to enemies, found and biological family and lovers, and more. Thanks again to Entangled Publishing's Red Tower Books, publishers of the smash hit Fourth Wing, for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Flatiron Books, publisher of 888 Love and the Divine Burden of Numbers by Abraham Chang. So this is an interesting love story. It's great for fans of Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow and High Fidelity. It's set in the mid-90s at NYU. And it follows young Wang, who has gotten the advice of love through Chinese numerology from his uncle. So he believes that he will have 7 great loves in his life. And then he meets Irena in 95. And she's like the best. She's brilliant, charismatic, quick-witted, funny. They fall in love. But the thing is, she's number 6. So if he is to have 7 great loves, does that mean his time with Irena is going to come to an end? So this is a love letter to Western pop culture, Eastern traditions, and being a first-generation New Yorker. Make sure to check it out. And thanks again to Flatiron Books, publisher of 888 Love and the Divine Burden of Numbers by Abraham Chang, for sponsoring this episode.
Okay, so you have picked 3 thrillers for us. I'm super excited. They're all contemporary. Tell me about your thought process as you were deciding which books you wanted to select.
It was so difficult. I think one of the hardest things you could tell an avid reader or a writer is, you know, pick 3 books. Because I remember when I got the email thinking, like, goodness, like, how am I going to do this? So I just picked the last 3 books that I read that I was absolutely blown away by. And, you know, so these are in no particular order or anything like that. They're just the last 3 books that I read that, you know, gave me a lot of confidence issues, actually, after I finished reading them, because I was like, there's no way I could ever write anything that could compare. I was blown away by all 3 of them. They're all a little darker, obviously, and they're all in this sort of suspense thriller vein. Mm-hmm. But they're also different too. And just all of them come with this very unique sort of voice, and I loved them. Yeah.
I think that's as good a system as any. It is a really hard thing to ask somebody who loves books. Yeah, like, okay, top 3 or pick 3. Like, how? Yeah. And everybody so far that that we've interviewed has had a different system. So I think yours is totally reasonable.
Okay, good. Glad.
Absolutely. So yeah, why don't you tell us about your first pick?
Things We Do in the Dark by Jennifer Hillier is... I am going to sound really, how do I put this, not like a writer when I talk about these books, by the way, because I'm so blown away by them that I feel that I am just running out of words, like adjectives, to describe them most of the time. Things We Do in the Dark was so fantastic because I think, and I've always thought Jennifer Hillier is just this fantastic writer and fantastic storyteller, and I've read a lot of her books in the past, and I think with this one she's really kind of reached, for me at least, just that pinnacle of fantastic writing, fantastic storytelling. I do this thing where every time I read a book and I really love it, I kind of tell my husband the story. And you know, because he's always like, oh, what are you reading? And I ignore him for a good part of the day whenever I get, you know, hooked on a book. So I remember trying to tell him about Things We Do in the Dark, and I just wasn't doing it justice because the writing is just so rich and her imagery is so fantastic. It's about, before I get ahead of myself, so I'll just give you a brief intro. It's about a woman, Paris Peralta, who's married to a much older celebrity husband who is found dead in the bathtub. And who's essentially bled out in his bathtub. And she sort of comes to clutching this blade that they suspect is the murder weapon and is taken into custody. And she's now trying to prove her innocence. And we find out through the book how this is woven in with a murder that happened many, many, many years ago back in Canada, surrounded this woman named Ruby Reyes, and how their stories are actually intertwined. It was just so well written. It is very dark. I was talking to some of my friends about it, and they were like, wow, Jennifer Hillier, she could write a dark book. And that's and that's true. Her books are usually very dark, but still her characters are so very rich and soft and likable. And you know, we've seen, I mean, I'm personally, I do like an unlikable character from time to time. And I myself write a lot of unlikable characters. But you know, with this book, there it was dealing with such dark substances, but it was still, the characters were so relatable and so very likable. And you really just got drawn into this story. Even the characters that were not the main characters, you know, like the more secondary characters, you could tell that she'd done so much of work in bringing them to life and making them so three-dimensional and real. It was fantastic. Yeah, I can gush about this book forever.
That's amazing. I also love a quote unquote unlikable main character, because I think, you know, lots of us are unlikable in our day to day. I find it very relatable usually, you know.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like you said, a good author can still make them feel real and understandable. Like, even if you're like, oh, those are terrible choices you're making, you get why they're doing it. It makes sense in the context of the book, and you like kind of can't look away, right? That's a that's, I love when an author can do that. Awesome. Well, okay, let's go on to your next pick.
Great. The Last Housewife by Ashley Winstead. I read this. This was my most recent read. And after I put it down, I just sat there for about, I think it was like a half an hour, just like staring off into the distance, thinking to myself, oh my goodness, like, what just happened? Is this, it was just, again, she's a phenomenal, phenomenal writer. This book has not come out yet, so I was very lucky that I got an advanced reader copy of it. It comes out, I think, in another 3 weeks, if I'm not mistaken.
Gotcha.
And Ashley Winstead, my goodness. she just, again, so transportive, and more than that, so rich in a completely different way. So with Jennifer Hillier, what was so interesting was this vivid imagery with the characters. And with Ashley Winstead, it was this first person narration that really sucked me in. And it dealt with so much of sort of women's issues. So just to give us a brief sort of synopsis of this, or a brief introduction to The Last Housewife. It is about a woman named Shay Evans, and this is some sensitive subject matter that I'm going to talk about. It deals with suicide, so if you are sensitive to that, I suggest you skip ahead. But Shay Evans finds out through a true crime podcast that her best friend from college has killed herself, and something is not quite right. And there are a few suspicious elements surrounding her death. And she decides to investigate. But to investigate means to revisit the terrible ordeal that she and her friends went through during college. It deals with a cult, essentially. And I don't want to give away too much more, because I went into this book pretty blind, not knowing too much about what it was going to be about. And I was absolutely shocked, absolutely blown away. Like I said, it talks about various feminist issues. It talks a lot about agency and consent and what empowerment means, but it does it in a way that doesn't feel preachy or it doesn't feel like a lecture. It, again, it's just so rich. And I just sat there and I took all of it in, and I, you know, I thought to myself, I was like, goodness, like, how can it is so relatable and it is so earth-shatteringly truthful and it's so scary at the same time. I really hope this book gets all the recognition that it deserves, because it really touches on what it means to be a woman in this day and age, with all the decisions that are made for women, not by women. So it was just a really fantastic read, very timely read right now. Really got me riled up and thinking about all the things that were going on in the world today. Brilliant, brilliant book.
Yeah, that does sound so timely and important. And that's an interesting thing too. You know, I think, especially with genre fiction, a lot of us are reading both for escape, right, from our daily lives. Like, most of our daily lives do not look like the lives of these characters. Like, hopefully, you know, we're not.
Thank God.
Exactly. Like, we're hoping they don't look like these lives. However, you know, there's also this, they can sort of carve out a space, you know, for us to think about the issues that we are dealing with, hopefully not under the duress of murder, right, but like that we are dealing with on our day to day.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It is. And it's an interesting lens in which to study these issues.
Yes.
Too. So, you know, it's almost you have that safety net of being like, okay, that this is fiction.
Yes.
But here's a way of framing it that makes sense to you. So Ashley Winston did a fantastic job of that. Like I said, after I put it down, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. I'm still thinking about it, you know, and it's just not a book that can be easily summarized, but I encourage everyone to read it. It was amazing.
Yeah. Well, I think you sold it. I mean, I'm now going to have to pick it up and find out more. It sounds like something that would be worth the anxiety of thrilleriness, right? So that's, I also love how more and more true crime podcasts, which are such a force, are showing up in books because there's, I think there's so much crossover between the true crime podcast lovers and thriller readers.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. It's been, I've noticed it crop up a lot in books, and I always love it also. Like, I just feel like it gives a nice background. And we're all, I mean, myself included, I know a lot of us are, you know, guilty of this almost. It's funny how it's almost become like expected now that we're all just going to be listening to these true crime podcasts. And they're fantastic. I mean, there's so much research and energy put into them. It's really awesome to see.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's true. They are sort of their own force in the media world these days. Yeah, it's so interesting. All right, let's take another quick sponsor break. Okay, so now we get to do the fun thing and talk about your book for a minute. So let's talk about your Invited. Was there, you know, okay, well, let's give a little, will you give us your elevator pitch before I start asking you questions about it?
Of course. It's about a woman who learns that her ex-best friend is marrying her ex-boyfriend and decides to travel to Sri Lanka, where the wedding is taking place, in order to stop it. Unfortunately for her, the bride ends up missing, presumed dead, and she's now being blamed for her murder. So Amaya, that's our main character, has to get herself out of this situation. And in the meanwhile, this takes place in sort of Colombo society, high class, sort of wealthier Colombo society. And it's sort of like we've said it already, sort of like a Crazy Rich Asians, but with a little bit of murder put in there. yeah.
So what was the seed for this book?
Well, surprise, surprise, I was at a wedding. And Sri Lankan weddings are very big affairs, regardless of what walk of life you're from. They're usually very, very big events. I'm talking a minimum, absolute minimum of 100 people, anything less than that. I mean, hotels don't even sell packages for weddings for less than 100 people most of the time. And so I was at one of these very grand weddings, and everything was beautiful. You know, the bride was beautiful, and the groom looked so happy, and the decor was gorgeous, and everything was perfect and wonderful. And then I remember I looked over accidentally almost at the groom's mother, and I just saw her face just slip off for just a second, like just for just a moment. She just looked so upset and irritated and tired, and just all these not happy feelings, right? Rolled into one. And it was on her face for sort of just a minute, not even a minute, just like a moment. And I remember thinking, I was like, man, there's so much that goes on, you know, behind the scenes of these weddings.
Yeah.
And of course, the thriller writer in me immediately thought, hey, wouldn't it be fun if there were, you know, a murder included in this? And then I started sort of thinking about, you know, what I can set up. And I knew that I wanted the setting to be at one of these Sri Lankan weddings in Colombo High Society. And then I also, one of the other ideas that I was thinking about a lot at the time were these ideas of female friendships and friendship breakups, because I feel that with romantic breakups, you see it everywhere, right? People rally by your side. You're expected to put on romantic, romantic movies and listen to love songs and eat a pint of ice cream on the couch. Right. And that's completely socially acceptable. Yeah. But oftentimes, you know, when friendship breakups happen, they can hurt more than romantic breakups.
Yes.
Can, at least for me, they always have. And you just don't have that sort of support or that outlet, even to discuss it. You know, you're friends with someone and then you're not, and you're expected to move on with your life. And how do you reconcile that? And yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about sort of the heartbreak that goes around a friendship breakup, and sort of tied those two ideas in. And that's how we landed on You're Invited.
Oh, I love that. I think you're so right. It is a really under discussed thing that happens to, I mean, I would dare say all of us, right? Like we've all lost friends in circumstances that were outside of our control. And, you know, sometimes we were the one who was ending a friendship, sometimes we're not. And yeah, there's very little, you know, really any media about that, I don't think. I mean, I've seen some books come out about it. You know, there's sort of famously Amina Tussaud and Anne Friedman, is it, who wrote the book Big Friendship. They talk about it, but I'm hard pressed to find, you know, too much more about it. And so, oh, I love that. That's one of the angles that you're exploring here.
Thank you.
Plus murder. I mean, you got to spice it up with murder,
always.
Right?
Of course. Of course.
There has to be a murder. That's how thrillers work.
Yeah. Yeah. It is kind of, one of the things that's absolutely necessary. So.
Oh, yes, for sure. For
like
sure.
A fixture. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really fun. Was there anything that sort of surprised you over the course of putting the book together that you're like, oh, I didn't think I was going to go down this route? I mean, not to ask for spoilers here, but, you know, if there's anything non-spoilery that happened.
I think something that did surprise me, it was very interesting for me writing about Colombo society, because Colombo is a really interesting place where I always sort of, it's one of the things that I think is discussed a lot. You know, you have this bubble almost of Colombo 7 society, which, you know, makes up probably less than 1% of the whole country. And, you know, they live in their own little world, but, you know, sometimes just a street over, you see, you know, a completely different group of people from completely different walks of life. And that almost like that juxtaposition's always been something that has interested me a lot. And the way they, you know, approach life, the way they approach their problems has been always something that's been interesting to me. I didn't realize how much of it would actually end up in the book until I started writing it. And, you know, and how much of actual gossip that I have heard made it into the book. You know, not to, you know, name names, but I am a little nervous about people in Colombo who would read this book sometimes and like recognize certain, you know, elements that they might have heard through the grapevine. So we'll see.
I love that. That's so funny. Well, that was, I mean, you know, it's already getting compared to Crazy Rich Asians, so I feel comfortable saying, you know, that's one of the things that I do love about what Kevin Kwan is doing is he's tackling class issues as well as, you know, giving us this frothy, you know, gossipy, fun sort of situation. So I think that makes perfect sense, right? Like it's sort of inescapable if you're going to talk about the elite, or at least I would hope it would be inescapable if you're going to talk about the elite. But yeah, well, hopefully nobody gets too bent out of shape about what gets into the book.
Hopefully they'll be distracted by that. By the murder. And
that's right. That's right. It's just about the murder. It's just about the murder. Yeah. Oh, I love it. All right. All right. Well, that just sounds like so much fun. And I'm looking forward to picking it up, and I'm sure everybody else will be as well. All right. Let's talk about your last book.
Someone Else's Life by Lynn Leo Butler was a quick read for me because I didn't do anything else. And I ignored the rest of my day. I just did not put it down from start to finish until I was done. Because I feel that she is so fantastic at really building up suspense. So Someone Else's Life is about a woman. Her name is Annie Lynn. She lived, I believe, in New York, and she went through a really rough patch in her life. I think her dance studio went out of business. Her mother and her dog died in the same year, which was obviously very distressing. And then her young son had kind of a very traumatic accident. And then, you know, looking for a fresh start, her husband and her son moved to Kauai. And, you know, they're looking to start up this new life. But, you know, little bits of her past keep sneaking into her new life in a way that you're not quite sure if she's being unreliable because she's drinking a lot, or you know, or just someone with a more sort of sinister intention is trying to mess with her a little bit. So she's growing increasingly suspicious, and as that is going along, there's a stranger who knocks on her door because this lady's car has now broken down close to a house, and there's a storm brewing. And, you know, this lady comes in, and she invites this lady inside, despite her husband's warning sort of not to. She invites this lady inside because there's a storm that, you know, builds up until, you know, it is very dangerous to go outside. And so she's stuck with this lady in the house, and then she starts questioning this lady's intentions. So it's very much a play on this stranger in the house trope. And it takes place just over a few hours of, you know, her inviting this lady in and what unfolds. And my body literally ached after reading this book, because I didn't realize that I was just in a full body tense entire time, like forgetting to breathe sometimes, just because you just don't know what's going to happen. And you know, Lynn Butler, she does this fantastic job where she intersperses, you know, these very intense moments with, you know, talk about food, which I don't know if you've read any of her other books, but it's almost one of her signatures, is where she talks about food, which, you know, gets me every time.
Yes.
And, you know, so she takes these little breaks. So you have these little moments of reprieve, and then you go back into just again, oh my goodness, like, did that just happen? Hey, wait, did this lady say something? Like, what does she mean? And you're reading, you know, that this as the main character, as Annie Lynn's paranoia increases, so does yours. it was just it's so well told for me, because it's different from a lot of the other thrillers and suspense novels that I've read, in that it just takes place over a very short period of time and really, really grips you from beginning to end. And I think that's just a testament to how good a writer Lynn Leo Butler is.
Yes. I was just going to say, that's one of my favorite, you know, sort of writer tropes, is when a book takes place over a very short period of time. Like, that's there's something so interesting and satisfying about that. And I do also love A Dark and Stormy Night. I'm not going to lie, right?
It's a dark and stormy night. There's a stranger in your house. You're starting to question their motives. What do you do?
Oh, I just got chills. I literally have goosebumps right now. That sounds like when I'll have to maybe I'll read it in the daytime, like somewhere in a hammock or like the most peaceful setting I can find.
And that's the irony of this, is that like the book is set in Kauai, which is, you know, this beautiful tropical paradise.
Right.
And she shows this like different side to it almost. I was just so good.
Oh, I do also love when food is in a book. So you're really selling this one to me particular. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm very compelled by your description of this book.
Oh, yeah. I remember reading it and I'm like, I wish I could have all this food. And I live in Sri Lanka, right? There's no way I'm going to get Hawaiian over here. So I was just like looking at it. My mouth is watering. Oh. You know, you're like looking around. I remember finishing the book and like looking around my house, and I only had like biscuits or like lame, like really, really boring food that doesn't
do have to like stock up your pantry before starting certain books, because otherwise you're just gonna be so sad when you finished reading.
Oh yeah. That's what happened to me.
Do we need to stock up our pantries for your book? Are there any like foods in your book? Are you a foodie? Does that show up in your work?
Oh, you know, it's so ironic that it doesn't for me. I mean, there are maybe one or two scenes where we discuss sort of food, but not in a way that would make you hungry, I would think, which is very, actually, that you bring it up, which is very strange, because I am really, really obsessed with food. And also Sri Lankan food is fantastic.
Sure.
It's just that I think what happened with You're Invited is that my main character, Amaya, she's quite anxious through the book. And because of that, isn't so keen on eating herself. So in that way, we differ a lot. Because when I'm anxious, I just want to eat all the food.
Right.
She's not that interested in eating because obviously her nerves are doing a number on her. So food didn't make it into the book as much as it should have. Quite sad, actually.
Something for your next book, maybe.
Yeah,
a little more food writing that can make us all crave food we cannot have.
Sri Lankan food is really, really fantastic, but very hard to come by in the US. So get it.
All right. Well, this has been so much fun. These books sound amazing, as does yours. Again, this has been Amanda Jayathissa. The book is You're Invited, now available wherever books are sold. Amanda, thank you so much for joining us. This has been really a pleasure.
Oh, once again, thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk about books, and especially with a fellow foodie. So,
yes, I'm hungry for foods I haven't even thought about in a long time. So that's what talking about it can do.
Yeah, now I'm thinking about food, and it's 11:30 at night where I am. So there's no chance I can get anything good. Here
oh
we
well,
go again.
yeah, exactly. Amanda, where should people follow you on the internet if they're interested in hearing more from you?
Sure, it's pretty easy. All my social media handles are exactly the same. It's just my full name, Amanda Jayathissa. So it's, you can find me on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, on TikTok, where I'm not very active, unfortunately. And my website's amandajayathissa.com.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, thank you again. And thank you all so much for listening, as always. And we hope you will continue to send us your feedback at getbooked@bookriot.com. If you want more recommendations, including thriller recommendations and or thrillers with food, I bet we have posts about that. You can check out bookriot.com. You can find our other podcasts at bookriot.com/listen. As always, if you'll leave us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, wherever, it helps other people to find the show. And you can find me on Twitter and Tumblr as Jen IRL, JennIRL, or on Instagram as I am Jen IRL. And we'll talk to you next time.